1 Peter 1:22. Ed, I was speaking to someone last week, and he was talking about something he was going through, and this is something I've heard many times over the years. And he says, I guess the Lord just trying to grow me. And I just looked at him. I said, growth comes from the roots, not from the wind. Growth comes from the roots, not from the wind. And we're all going to face wind. But I've just begun to think about that actually throughout the week. And then yesterday as I was praying and seeking the Lord about something to bring this morning. Because we, in the gospel, we don't speak a lot about spiritual growth. But in preaching the gospel of Christ, the simplicity of Christ, we are giving, and every minister is giving what it takes for spiritual growth. In this passage of Scripture, this is something I believe I heard Brother Surface pointed out in Sunday school, but these apostles, these writers did not write in chapters. They did not write in segments. These were letters. And sometimes the chapter breaks, break up the thought, the continuity of the thought, and we sometimes miss what is being said. But he speaks here in the 22nd verse, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And just a quick comment, in that obeying the truth, when the writers of the New Testament speak of obeying the truth, the speaking, the word is to hearken under, to listen and receive the truth. And I often tell people that the gospel is not a new covenant law. It does not work by giving you a commandment to do and then you go out and obey it, you go out and do it. But rather the way the gospel transforms and makes a new creature is you hear it and you see it. And if you'll believe it, the Scripture says we are changed from glory to glory into the same image. And through obeying the truth, through hearkening to the truth, he said, you have purified your souls in obeying and hearkening under to the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And that's unpretended love of the brethren. How many know what unpretended love is? And maybe you don't think about that, but how many have ever seen pretended love? A pretense of love. Well, unpretended love is the opposite of that. It's a love that's not a put-on. It's love that's not for show. It just is. It is. You can feel it. It issues out of a person and all that they do and all that they are and all that they say. In purifying your souls through obeying the truth, it's unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. And this is where we want to start this morning, because before there's a growth, there must be a birth. Can you see that? If we're going to use the illustration of a natural child, then we understand that. Before there's a growth, before there can be any growth, and we understand the 9 months in the womb, but in spiritual things there's not that. But there is a birth. And when there's a birth, then there can be growth. But without a birth, a new birth, as Jesus said, told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Any growth is the growth of the old. It's the growth of the unregenerate. Any growth that a person has before they're born of the Spirit of God will never be accepted of God, be received of the Lord, because it's a growth of something that has already been rejected. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a good man. Nicodemus was one of those that defended Jesus even before the council. Nicodemus was a diligent man, but Jesus told him, you must be born again. You must have a new birth. It must be of the Spirit. You must be born of God. It was a few weeks ago, Brother Surface was ministering, and he actually was sharing something he heard in the night, and it's so simple. But when he heard that God gave His only begotten Son, and he began to think of it, hear it differently, as in opposed to the other that had been called the sons of God. And that Adam was called the Son of God, but he was a created son. And he was created, and all humanity in the Scripture is called the children of God. But they're created children of God, made from the dust of the earth, and humanity fell. And so it's a depraved population, humanity, that is called the children of God because He made them. Well, Israel was chosen. How many understand that? That God chose Israel. And they were the chosen people. And they were children of God, sons of God, by adoption or by choosing. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. You know, that He chose a people, He chose someone. And yet His chosen people refused to hear His voice at Sinai. They rejected the voice of God. They said, don't let God speak with us, but Moses, you speak with us. And so Moses gave them the law. But there was a chosen people. First a created people, then a chosen people. But Jesus, had the Word made flesh when He came into the world, was described as the only begotten Son of God. A new creation that had never been. The eternal Word who was with God and was God made flesh. And they said, we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And He wasn't created and He wasn't chosen. He was born of God. He was born. He was the incorruptible seed that was placed in Mary, and that which was, the Scripture says, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the sons of God. And far different than being made from the dust of the earth, and far different than even being chosen, but being born. But then the Scripture would tell us that He is the firstborn among many brethren. That's sons and daughters. The firstborn. And so being a child of God is different than just being made from the dust of the earth and being part of this population of humanity. And it's also different than saying, well, I was chosen. I was chosen to be His people. But it is a new birth, and God is in fact your Father. And His life dwells within you. Born of God. You need to understand that. It's not a new way of thinking. It's not just a new philosophy. It's not just a new way of living. It's a new birth. If any man or woman be in Christ, he, she is a new creation, a new creature. There's been a birth. And without that birth, nothing eternal can happen without that birth. And sometimes we forget that. We think, even as ministers sometimes, it's one of those things that has perplexed me or puzzled me for so many years. I know people and ministers that they'll tell of when the Lord saved them and the Lord found them, how He transformed them, delivered them, made them new. And yet for some reason they begin to think that they can take a lost person and begin to teach them new things and teach them right and slowly make that happen. It is impossible. There must be a new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. And without that, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter how much you grow. It doesn't matter how wise you become. It doesn't matter how many religious or spiritual things you think you know. There must be a new birth. You must be born again, a child of the living God. And then as a child, you can grow. Is it a good thing that a child grows? It's a bad thing when a child doesn't. And so he starts us there, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And sometimes we miss what he's saying here. But he says, you're born again of that incorruptible seed by the word of God. He's not speaking of the words of this book. He's not speaking of the words of the Scripture. He's speaking of that incorruptible seed that John would say, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word, the divine expression of God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. I remember the day that it was a fad, people would hold up the Bible, and they said, this is the Word. And the Bible says, Jesus is the Word. And I'm holding Jesus. No, you're not holding Jesus. In Christ, the universe abides. How can you be holding Him? These are words, but the incorruptible seed always has been, always will be. He is the Word of God. And by the gospel, we preach this Word to you. And so you being born again is not by studying that book, so you ought to study it. But it's by that same seed that came into Mary. That same seed and comes into you, and you're born of that incorruptible seed. He said, which word by the gospel is preached unto you? Well, we go into the next chapter. Wherefore, if you're born again of that incorruptible seed, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings as newborn babes. See, we're still with being born again. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now, he is actually speaking here of two different foods that a newborn babe can partake of. If you're a newborn babe in Christ, if you get caught up with or in malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, it's like taking a newborn babe or any person and feeding them sewer water. Feeding them that which is death in the drinking. And you can take a newborn babe, and they can get in a clique or in a gossip group or in a group of people where envy and malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings begin to work, and it's poison and it's death and it stunts them and it will cause them to die. But he's saying, don't. You're born of God, of an incorruptible seed. So that's not your food. That's not your milk. Have no part of that. Sometimes the best weapon God has given you is your feet. Walk away from it. Get out from the midst of it. It's okay if you're in a conversation and someone wants to run someone down. to get up and leave. And that's not improper. That's the right thing to do. Someone say amen. Amen. Don't drink of it. The Scripture says that Lot, there in Sodom, vexed his righteous soul by seeing and hearing their unrighteous deeds. You can sit, it can be just for an hour's time, and around a table and listen to people talk about one another, and you're going to pay for it for sometimes days and weeks as it vexes, as it eats away at you. So he said, you don't have any part of that. You're a child of God. And one thing I always tell people about a healthy baby or a sign of a healthy baby is hunger. Starts looking for food. If there's a healthy birth, that baby is going to start looking for food, going to start looking for milk, and that's a good thing. And I want to tell you, one of the greatest signs that there has been a new birth is a hunger in a person, not because someone told them what they needed to do, but a hunger for the things of the Lord. They want to know the Lord. They want the things of Christ. They can't explain it, but it's in them. It's a healthy birth. And so he says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, I have been told all my life that the Word is meat. Well, y'all just preach too much meat. We need milk. But he said, desire the milk of the Word. You know what meat is in the Scripture? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of He that sent me and to finish His work. Until you're grounded in the Word of God, you're not ready for meat. You're not ready for God to send you. You're not ready for God to work through you until you're grounded in the truth of the Word of God. Because the meat, strong meat, he said, is for those that ought to be teachers. He said, and they've exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. He's ready to send them out, as he did Paul and Silas, into a heathen world and shine as light and to give the Word of God, to do the work of God, because they're ready for meat. But milk is the Word. And we've said, we don't want the Word, we want milk. Well, what do you think milk is? Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And then he says something. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If so be, you say, well, if you hadn't tasted the Lord that gracious, then you shouldn't desire the sincere milk of the Word. No, only those that have tasted that the Lord is gracious desire. That's the hunger that comes with that new birth. And they've tasted the Word of God, and it's food for their soul, and it causes them to desire. It's that baby, that infant, that knows where to look for the milk because it's tasted the milk. And he says, if you've tasted the Word of God, that the Lord is gracious, then you will desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He said, grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Do you comprehend that there is that he says, if you know, grace and peace will multiply in you. Grace and, you know, there's a passage of Scripture that to me is so misunderstood. How many have ever heard of what's going to happen if you ask God for patience? Trials and tribulations. Scripture says tribulation works patience. So if you want patience, if you ask God for patience, He's going to give you trials. And I tell people that if you don't have patience and you get trials, you're going to blow a gasket. Is it all right if I say that? Because we don't understand what he's saying. He's saying we have access to grace. We rejoice. Wherein we stand, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes us not ashamed. But the issue here is the glory of God that we're rejoicing in. And these are those that had seen the glory of God, and they'd seen that when they begin to step out in what God had given them to do, what God had promised, there would be tribulations. There would be attacks. There would be persecutions. But he said it works patience. And all he's telling you is he's telling you, it teaches you or lets you know, and just wait on the Lord. He's promised the glory. He's promised to be with you. So you just wait on the Lord, because patience works what? Experience. He says that. And what's the experience? After you've walked this walk a little bit, you begin to understand if God's promised, if God set you on course, yes, tribulation will come, but if you will just believe God in your patience, possess your soul, believe God, wait upon the Lord, and He will renew your strength, and you will begin to experience that. That's patience working experience. You will begin to experience that. And experience works hope. What's he saying? When next time you come into tribulation, there'll be an expectation that God's going to show up, because He showed up last time and He showed up before. And He's speaking of a circle that goes on and on as we go on and do what God has given us to do. Tribulations come, but it works patience. We wait upon the Lord. He renews our strength. Then we mount up with wings as an eagle. And that further down the road, He gives promise. And tribulations come, but we wait upon the Lord. And He renews our strength. And we mount up with wings as an eagle. And pretty soon when tribulations come, we say, it's almost time for me to mount up with wings as an eagle. And that's what he's saying. He's not telling you that that's the way God gives you patience, because long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, long-suffering. These are the fruit of the Spirit. They're not fruit of tribulation. They're not fruit of hardship. They're not fruit of this world. They're a fruit of being born of the Spirit of God. And it increases through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it increases and it blossoms. And we go through the same things that our brethren, he says, in the world go through. But we go through with joy and peace and victory and overcoming, because we have the fruit of the Spirit within. I have
this is one of the things I have seen for all my years of ministry. Heard people talk about the hardships and the trials, and they say this, God's just trying to get something out of me. He's trying to work something out of me. Well, if you think that's the way it's going to happen, then you've prepared for a hard life, because trials are going ever be doing something that it does not have the ability to do. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed to get it out of you. And nothing else can do it. There's no trial. There's no test. There's no hardship. If that were the case, the Son of God need not die. Just send trial and test and hardship to the people. And He did. And they murmured and complained and refused God. But He purifies your souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brother. He purifies your souls. And the trials come, and you discover with everyone else that He has indeed purified your soul. The things that used to make you blow your top, put someone in their place, deceive and twist and seek revenge, only bring out the unfeigned love of the brethren. But if you're looking for trials and tests and hardships to produce that, then you must think that they are what redeemed you. And you're not redeemed with such things as that, but with the precious blood of Christ shed to cleanse from all unrighteousness, to purge our conscience from dead works, to wash us from our sins. But that grace and peace multiplies through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You get to know Him. And we're going to go over to Ephesians, and you'll see, well, you send your roots down into Him, and you're going to grow. Because growth of that child comes by partaking of mama's milk. And that child begins to grow and become strong. And it's not the things of this world that cause that growth. The things of this world may test that growth, but they don't cause it. It comes forth from the milk that flows from Christ that causes growth for the children of God. Let's go to Ephesians, the third chapter. 14th verse, there through the end of the chapter. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. What strengthens you? We are sometimes told, and I've heard the story, what strengthens you is you're like the big tree, and when the winds blow and you begin to bend, but makes you strong, and it helps you get roots and all these things. Well, that's a wonderful analogy. It's just the Scripture doesn't say it. What strengthens you? Well, He says here, the Word, and He's going to bring us that right here, He says it's His Spirit in the inner man, that you strengthened. What gives you strength? The storm gives you strength? No. The trial gives you strength? No. Pleasant circumstances gives you strength? No. What strengthens you? His Spirit in the inner man, that you be strengthened with all might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. I've got to stop on this just because of the wording. Because in the King James translation, it sounds like that if you get His Spirit in the inner man, then Christ can dwell in your heart by faith. That's not what He's saying. Actually, the word is Christ dwelling in your heart. Christ dwelling in your heart by faith. You have believed the truth, and Christ has come. His Spirit is in your inner man. You have received strength. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And we are strengthened by His Spirit, and Christ is dwelling in our hearts by faith, that we or ye being rooted and grounded. Now he's not using the illustration here of a child, he's using the illustration of a plant, of a tree. And this is growth for a plant or a tree. That ye being rooted and grounded. Rooted, it is where that seedling starts to send out the little feeders, the little roots. Starts to find life in the soil. And grounded, the roots begin to go down. And it becomes established there in the soil. But you being rooted and grounded in love. And just like if we stop there, that's a wonderful thing. But that's not actually, doesn't tell you the whole story. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height and to know the love of Christ. See, if you think it's love, then you think, which is a shallow, very shallow interpretation, well, I love my children and I love my grandma and I love, and so I'm being rooted and grounded. No, it's rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Because I want to tell you, if you're rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, not only will you love your children and love your grandma, but you'll love your enemy and you'll love the heathen and you'll love the lost world when you're rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. But the love of Christ in the Scripture is always, always connected to what He did when He loved us. He loved us and gave Himself for us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Scripture says God commended His love toward us that when we were sinners, yet sinners, Christ died. And the vastness of what Christ did is the soul wherein we are planted. The riches of Christ. It is the love of Christ. See, I want you to understand this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's appropriate to say that that is the divine expression of God. But that's not the love of God. Because the love of God caused the Word to be made flesh and give His life upon a cross. That's the vastness of this love. How do we comprehend that He who made all things becomes like the things that He made so He can die for the things that He... How do we comprehend that? But He says, I want you to comprehend it. I want you to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the length, the depth and height that He's describing, the vastness of the love of Christ. And He says to know that which passes knowledge. He's wanting you to know something, Carrie, that I can't teach you. He's wanting you to know something that you can't study enough to learn. Amen. How many, just in natural things, have something you know and you can't explain to anyone? But you know it. And you can't pass it on, you can't tell it. Well, this is something so much greater than that. It's the love of Christ that fills eternity. And I can preach about it all the days of my life. And I can't pass that fullness to you
Because it passes knowledge. Amen. The only one that can know it is someone who sends their roots down into it.
Amen.
And begin to drink it up.
Amen.
And they begin to drink in. Out of the soul of the love of Christ, that plant begins to send its roots down. And it begins to grow in life. Jesus said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. And the life begins to flow in to that plant. And that plant begins to grow strong. It's like the tree planted by the rivers of living water. And it begins to grow. And it begins to receive strength. And it begins to bear fruit. Not because of the wind, but because of the root. As it sinks its roots down into the love of Christ, it becomes strong. And it begins to bring forth much fruit. And this is and what causes spiritual growth.
Amen.
When the Scripture says, grow in grace. Grow in... What is grace? The grace of God, the greatest manifestation of the grace of God is that He loved us and He gave Himself for us. And He said we stand in this grace. It's the kingdom of God. Sink your roots in it. Drink the milk of the Word and grow thereby. I tell you, I'm not quite like David, but I'm closer than I used to be. He said, I'm old, but I once was young. And I'm not ready to say I'm old, but I can say I once was young. So where does that leave me? And I have seen so many over the years. You find someone that comes to the Lord, I'm talking about being born again, and just begins to drink. And you watch them, it doesn't take them decades, it doesn't even take them years. They begin to get strong and they begin to stand up. And you watch, and the trials will come, and the test will come, and the circumstance will come, and you think, how do they stand? It's because, as a newborn babe, they were desiring the sincere milk of the Word. And as a sapling, as a plant, they were sending their roots down into the love of Christ. And they may not had all the education. They may have never been to a seminary on what you do when the wind blows. What you do when persecution rises. How to overcome when people speak evil against you. What happens when things go wrong and how do you make it through? They may have never been educated on such things. But I've never seen a tree go to school. A tree just grows. A tree just grows. And you see that one just begin to drink and partake and send their roots down to the love of Christ. And you watch as the storms come, as the tests come, as the trials come, and they stand.
Amen.
And they stand strong in the Lord, strengthened with all might by His Spirit in the inward man. Christ dwelling in their hearts by faith, in their roots sinking into, going down into the love of Christ, and from the love of Christ being filled and strengthened. And this is spiritual growth. Different things that I've seen. There's something, and I hear it in all different places. I shared the man. And this man is born again. And he's a sapling. And he was facing a storm. Well, God's just trying to do something. And when I told him, I said, growth comes from the root. Doesn't come from the wind. You take a person that never sent their roots down, and it doesn't matter how much they've learned and how long they've been, the wind's going to blow them away. But I have seen my life, and maybe there's someone in this place that maybe this is why this is on my heart. Think that everything happened is God trying to mold you. You know, that sounds so spiritual. God trying to shape you. God chiseling on you. All these things sound so spiritual. But Alexa, will you let me chisel on Holden? You don't chisel on a child. Glory, was she 6 months old? John writes in 1 John 3, he said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it's not apparent what we shall be." I don't know what glory is going to be 10 years from now. I don't know how tall she's going to be. Now, some of the ladies can tell me, but I don't know if she's going to look more like David or Emmy. I'm pulling for Emmy. But all that will take care of itself if she just eats and grows. I'm not saying there's not things to learn, not things to be taught. But I've seen those that look to every circumstance, to every trial, to every test, to every storm, and their only answer for it, and usually why it takes such a toll on them, is God's trying to do something. And it sounds so spiritual except for this. Why did God send His Son to die for you? Because He, upon that cross, did what you needed done. Amen. There's something inside that you need out. If you're looking for some event to do it, you're looking in the wrong place. But if you'll look to the Savior, who shed His blood to cleanse from all unrighteousness, you will find the answer.
Yes, Lord.
Can you hear me this morning? If you need strength for the journey, that strength will not come. I've seen people go through more trials than I could imagine. And they're beat down, and they're beat up, and they're run over. But I've seen other people go through the same things and come through rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the difference is whether they're born again, Were they sending their roots down into Christ? Were they drinking that sincere milk of the Word that causes them to grow their